Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
can't hear you, LA. What you do? You got yourself muted?
Doggone, you know what? I was talking all that time. And you're right, my phone, I had the mic open in the studio, but I had myself on the phone muted. Good. Well, thank you for being patient. Good. Oh, anyway, I'm not going to go through that again. All right, my little rant was about conspiracy theories and Joshua Brown. A lot of people, I don't see him as a star witness because essentially he, Amber Geiger from day, I mean, from the get-go said, look, I was in the wrong place, shot somebody, and, I mean, she didn't try to backpedal on it. She never pleaded guilty, I mean, not guilty.
Yeah, she...
So basically, yeah, her own words basically was it wasn't rocket science to give her a conviction, in my opinion.
Well, you know, she didn't have to take a jury trial. She could have took a bench trial.
True.
Make you think, don't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what fool wouldn't take a jury? What fool wouldn't take a bench trial in a case
like that? Yeah.
But it also goes to show you, I hate to say it like this, but you had a black police chief, a black judge, bailiff. You got a defense team that was black, and what else? And they still loused that stuff up, man. I'm not saying it's loused up, but the outcome has people still mad.
Right.
Now.
Oh, and don't forget a predominantly black jury.
Yeah, and the jury pool was 50% black. Not the pool, but
right.
The alternative.
Right.
You had five sitting, and you had two on the side. You had four on the side, and two of them was black. But here's the thing. Blacks been complaining about the judge is not fair. They've been complaining the white judge is not fair. They've been complaining about all white juries. And they've been complaining about the prosecutor that's white going after them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, heck, you couldn't have drew a better picture, and you still got things, as some would like to say, is all loused up.
Right. That's true.
Now, there are some good judges. I like Judge Joe Brown and Judge Mathis. And I keep saying, see, either we gonna say that blacks ain't responsible, or blacks are human beings, just like everybody else, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, with some of these cities.
The only thing that they could be mad about, because the woman was convicted, okay, is they're mad about the 10 years.
The sentencing. Huh?
Yeah, that's what people are mad about.
Right.
Well,
but
no,
the prosecutor,
that's the initial thing that they're mad about. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, on that, L.A., the prosecuting team, in their interview of prospective jurors, never asked the jurors, the interviewees, whether or not they could render the maximum sentence. Matter of fact, they didn't let them know that they was going to be engaging in the process of rendering a sentence, because upon completion of the trial and afterwards, two jurors were being interviewed by a news media. Their names, of course, not given, only identified as numbers. And they said, we didn't have no idea we were supposed to do all that. Now, here's the thing. If in the interview process of prospective jurors, you ask them that question, well, now you're starting to play on people's convictions.
Right.
Now, if you get a person whose conviction don't have convictions and say, yeah, I'd give them 1,000 years, but how will they react when they're confronted with evidence? how they react when they're confronted with the preponderance of evidence, the clear and convincing evidence, and probably trials like that, you would have had a beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
So,
I mean, 99 years. You know what? There's going to be people, particularly the way the press is, there's always going to be people that are not going to be happy with whatever it turns out to be.
Well, yeah, so, you're right. Then you have this element out there that's hollering racism, white supremacy, and other things. But you got what you asked for, or what you. And I don't know how big this group is. I don't think they get very large at all, but they have a lot of voice. But you got what you asked for, got what you've been complaining for. And I agree, you know, in history, like the 13th, the 13th Third Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama, where they brought the white guy, I think his name was Cherry. I don't know how many times he went to trial. But finally, in the last trial where they had a diverse juror, then they found him guilty. The FBI.
Well,
now, as far as this guy Joshua, you have to ask the question, why come the police didn't provide him with protection? But, you know, maybe the police already knew the man had problems. All right, if this man, and they say he shot somebody, is that true? Did you read that? He was in
they said out of there were three people. So the one that's in the hospital now and somewhere in Dallas, they say Joshua Brown shot him.
All right, now look at this. Why did he shoot him?
Apparently, it sounds like a drug deal gone bad. That's what it sounds like.
All right, L.A., let me ask you another question. Why would a person with that type of background be used as a star witness?
You're absolutely right.
Why come the defense didn't bring issues to that?
Unless it was very stupid, why would a person that's doing something legal even agree to be on a witness stand in an internationally, you know, it's a high-profile case?
Well, why would the defense attorney
would people travel from New Orleans, I mean, Louisiana, to meet with somebody who was just on trial? I mean, just not on trial, but on a, you know, witness.
Yeah, and why would the defense attorney allow him to testify or put up some kind of obstacle? Because the person has a shady background, has a felonious background. I don't know what he was charged with. I'm just saying. We've seen it in other times. Credible witnesses. How credible is a witness who had just shot somebody in an activity that was probably illegal? So how credible is this witness? That was never brought up.
True. They have arrested, I'm reading on that line now, two people have been arrested in the connection to the murder of Joshua Brown. Michael Mitchell, 32, who officials say was the suspected getaway driver in the Friday night slaying, was arrested at a motel in Marksville, Louisiana, Tuesday evening, that's last night, in Avoyelles Parish. Decorius Mitchell, 20, had previously been arrested, I think that's the guy who got shot, and was in custody at the hospital. Dallas Assistant Chief Avery Moore said in a news conference yesterday. Thaddeus Green, 22, remains at large. Officials say that the three men traveled from Alexandria, Louisiana, to purchase drugs from Brown, 28, in the parking lot of a Dallas apartment complex. Decorius Mitchell told police that Brown shot him. So, the guy who's been shot, as they say on the street, now he's snitching. Okay. police said that Brown, who was shot in the chest after Green and Brown got into an altercation during the drug deal, and that Green then shot Brown twice. Anyway.
So he had been shot off before.
Two people so far. If I was the third guy, he may as well turn himself in.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if they're in Louisiana, man, you don't want to play in that state. Because they don't. Louisiana don't play. I tell you how it is. You can. When I go to the grocery store, I notice that women will leave their purse. You know, in that little, at the top of the grocery cart, that little area where kids sit at sometimes. Women will leave their purse there and walk down the aisle, you know, looking for stuff. I've seen, and people would get out their car when they pull up to an establishment, leave the vehicle running, leave the air conditioner running. Well,
that's true.
Yeah. See, here in Louisiana, they don't play. They will lock your butt up forever. And I guess they got people knowing that, so they ain't going to be snatching nobody's purse.
Right.
Stealing nobody's cars. Not saying that it don't happen rarely, but it's not no thing that you be constantly concerned of, if, say, if you was in a St. Louis or maybe a Chicago. Hell,
right.
Up there, they'd snatch purse and stuff off your damn shoulder and take your shoulder with it, take your arm with it.
Mm.
So anyway, where's everybody at?
Well, man, I don't know. It, like I said, we, with that month that we were off, well, not off, but switch formats. So, you know, we got people listening, but like I said, Blog Talk changed their format a little bit now, and it's done in price. If it used to be 2 hours, but now they've cut the price, they cut the service in half. Anyway, that's why we do the 30 minutes here, and then we do the Blog Talk thing. And not Blog Talk, what do you call it? Spreaker. But what we'll probably do is go ahead on and go back to our hour on Blog Talk and then complement it with the Spreaker thing. So hey, you know, we're working that out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin's on, who's our board person, she's on Amtrak, so she won't be
well,
settled.
Hell, she's been on Amtrak for 2 or 3 days. What, she got a job on Amtrak?
She started from no. She's going to some kind of event in Atlanta. I think she'll be in Atlanta for about a month. So she's got, you know, her audio equipment. So she lives up in the greater Seattle, Washington area. So she caught a train from Seattle. That's cross country.
Yeah, that's that one train that does. You know, that's a good thing that they have. They got several routes, sightseeing routes, that take several days to.
Well, because I told her, I said, because I've caught the train plenty of times from here in Florida to D.C. I used to catch it like twice a month at one time. But
they got one route. They got one route that started in Chicago, goes on down around the southern border, up the west coast to Washington, and come across the northern border, back down through Kansas City, and back down into Chicago.
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather, if I can, catch a plane.
It's a sightseeing. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think if you're going to go cross country, all right, for comfort, Amtrak. But if you're going to actually see stuff, Greyhound. The only thing is with Greyhound, the seats are smaller, and the bathroom ain't the cleanest, particularly if people don't know how to navigate that bathroom, they mess it up, and then they don't clean up behind themselves. So Greyhound, you can actually see more of the country, but with Amtrak, there's more comfort. But, man, the train for me after 4 hours, you know, that's with me.
And I don't know if they allow you to get off and stay at a destination and get back on and continue. I don't know if they do that.
Well, I know Amtrak, they have smoking stops. And they tell you, all right, well, this is going to be a smoking stop. And then if you don't get back on the train will leave. And they do leave. Amtrak also has Amtrak bus. But the Amtrak bus only connects you from one end, you know, it connects you from one end, make sure you make the connection with the train wherever that train's going to be at. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, she's not here. Well, we'll probably catch up to her tomorrow. On that
all right,
note,
then, Ellie.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you, people, for listening. That's it for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts will check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll care for your car like we care for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.